curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Welcome, everyone, to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast with Ron Kitchens. I am Carla Soans and happy to be hosting the podcast today with Ron. This is our second podcast that we are doing it from remote location. So I can't see you, you can't see me, but we're about to have a great conversation. And today I'm going to pick your brain about managing stress, because I don't know about you, but I feel like everybody I talk to right now has got a little bit more stress and maybe just a heightened level of anxiety. And as leaders, it's really important that we manage our stress so that we can be sound and reasonable sounding blocks for those that are around us. So Ron, talk a little bit about where we are in today's world and why managing stress is such an important and critical component of being a leader.
Yeah, I think we already are living through a time, we've talked about this in previous podcasts, of, you know, my role as a university trustee, and I get exposed to a lot of research on kind of next generation leaders and the level of anxiety that young leaders have today is off the charts compared to past times. And I don't think that's because they're snowflakes or because they got participation trophies or all the kind of snotty comments that are made by people who really don't mean hate, but that's what comes out of it. Is I think what we have is a time that we, for a long while now, have had stability. You know, we had 2008, we saw the downturn, and these young leaders saw what happened to their families. But since then, we've seen a pretty strong economy. And so when things go south that are beyond our control, and in some cases, even beyond our understanding, it leads us to levels of stress that can have long-term impacts that go beyond just, hey, get over it and move forward. And so we want to make sure that, you know, we're looking at stress, both stress on our systems, so social service systems, you know, it's really tough. My wife volunteers at a food pantry, and she's on the very young side of who's volunteering there, but they've shut the food pantry down because most of the volunteers are over 65, and it's dangerous for them to be in this environment. And in watching the feedback from those volunteers and the stress and the guilt and the anxiety they feel about not being able to serve and take care of people was gut-wrenching. And, you know, and I see it in young people, whether it's, you know, my daughter Kelsey, who's, you know, in her third year of, or just finished 3 years in New York, and you know, has coworkers that are all about the same age. They're all spread out now all over the country, and they're working from wherever they're at. But that stress and anxiety level of not feeling in control of our own lives and our actions is something that a lot of us have never been through. Never in our country have we seen a time since World War II where we were told we could not do things. You know, where World War II, there was blackouts and food products were limited as part of the war effort. I've never been told in my life I can't go to a restaurant, that restaurants are shut down, that I can't go to the gym, that I can't go to a movie theater. These are hard things that create anxiety. And so people have got to manage that appropriately. And we can talk about ways to do that.
Yeah, I think you're right, Ron. And I think that, you know, when we think about young people who are in the workforce, this is the first time that they've also experienced looking at their 401k or their retirement and really seeing the impact of what's happening globally on their finances. And there's been so many people I know on our team that have reached out and said, like, what do I do? And, you know, it's easy to forget that we've weathered storms like this before, but that there's individuals that are in the workforce now that have not. And this is their first experience with the market crashing and what that means. And so I think you're right, you know, helping people to manage that and just really being there for people and just being understanding of where they're at is so important. So let's talk about those healthy management systems, because it's, you know, it's really important to manage yourself as an individual right now, but it's also very important at a team and organizational level. So what are some of those systems, or what advice do you have for individuals that are trying to make sure that their teams and their organizations are just managed well and that they have systems in place to keep the ball moving forward and to keep stress level down wherever they can for the people that they're working with?
Yeah. So, you know, don't eat arsenic. So don't poison yourself or poison others. You can spend today, and we're all guilty of it, you can spend the entire day online reading stories about negative, awful things that may or may not be true. Or they may or may just be somebody's perspective. They may be isolated to one area. So I'm not saying you shouldn't be knowledgeable, but find sources that you trust and just review them and make yourself commit to, you know, if you really want to know what's going on in the world, look a couple of times a day. But, you know, I found myself down the rabbit hole of social media and following this story and this story. And in the end, all I felt was bad. I didn't know any more than I knew before. You know, unless you're some kind of sophisticated financial investor, trust the system. It is really easy to go, oh my God, I'm going to have to work 5 years longer now with all the money I lost. The reality is the system always goes down. It always goes up. If you're not retiring tomorrow, it probably mostly doesn't matter. And so don't get fixated on the things you can't control. What you can control is being positive. What you can control is lifting up others. What you can control is promoting positive stories and supporting those things that groups, individuals, you can. You know, I'll be honest, for me, you know, something, childhood hunger is an issue that breaks my heart and it really touches me. And, but I found I just can't. Lynn and I have made a financial commitment. We are doing everything our finances will allow us to do right now around those issues. But I could read and feel guilty more and more. And I just can't do that and be a good leader. And I can't spread that negativity. So, you know, we've got to just make sure that what we are doing for ourselves and for our team gets us through not just today and next week, but sets ourselves up to thrive. You know, one of the things that, you know, I sent around to the team, I don't remember if it was last night or this morning, was, you know, one of the yoga studios in town that we've used that comes into our office that does yoga classes, which we obviously can't do right now. They're doing virtual programs, so you can do them online. So I sent it out to the team and as a, hey, here's a way to keep normalcy there and to use this time to get in shape. And so those that can or want to will, but we're taking care of each other and taking care of ourselves.
I think you're so right, and, you know, really encouraging people to try to find that place of normalcy as much as they can, because that certainly helps to reduce stress. As we were just talking earlier, a group of people, and, you know, we always start our day at Southwest Michigan First at 8:05 with Scrum. And for some people, that is just how they get in the rhythm each day. And those little things that disrupt your routine. You know, not having that disrupts some people's routine. So how do you create as much stability and routine for people during this time and for yourself? You know, there's a lot of individuals out there that may not be getting what they need from their organization, and it is time for them to start thinking about, how do I manage myself and my own stress well so that I can be a good reflection for those around me? And I think, you know, keeping your sense of normalcy as much as you can. If you work out, keep working out. You're going to have to do it from home. You know, if you are a person that needs that, you know, 8:05 team call, find somebody to call in the morning at 8:05 so that you have your kickstart the way that you need it to be.
And don't be a slug. It is human nature that, you know, hey, I'm working from home, you know, I don't have to shave, or, you know, I can wear sweatpants, or, you know, I don't need to wash my hair. But the data is really clear. People have been working from home for years now. Those that thrive create routines, and they get up and dress, and they have a desk that they're working at, even if that desk is the kitchen table. But they have a place that they do business, and they separate that, and they stick to their schedules and rhythms. And so it's really important to create that discipline in our lives. This isn't extra work that we're doing on a Saturday morning of, hey, I'm just doing this to catch up. This is your life and your career, and honor it in that way, because that self-honoring says that even though there are things I can't control, I am going to control and be excellent and elite at those things I can control.
Yeah. And one of our friends, John Acuff, posted something on social media yesterday that I thought was really clever. And he, you know, has worked from home, I think he said, for 7 years now. But he said his tip to everyone for working from home was to get up and get dressed and have a routine. And my favorite line from what he said was, flannel feels like failure by 3 p.m. And I think that that can be true. You know, I mean, it's kind of silly, but I think sometimes you take for granted that that routine of getting up and getting ready in the morning, like all of that is part of preparing for your day. And if you feel like you're just in a very relaxed environment, you may not really be as disciplined around your work, and you may feel like you didn't get anything done. Even if you were moving things on your task list, but you feel like you haven't showered or brushed your teeth or whatever, it may, you may still feel like you didn't really accomplish much. And so I thought that that was kind of clever piece of advice from somebody who's been working from home for a while.
You know, and I saw that, and actually talked to John a few days ago. And, you know, one of the things that we were talking about is, I think this working from home stuff is actually harder for men, because a lot of women have gone through more balancing life, social responsibilities, children, sick kids, all those things tend to be dominated by women who have had to balance this more and more. You know, me, I'm still distracted when Finley, the world's second greatest Labrador Retriever, runs around with this ball. I'm off my laptop talking to Finley, where you have four kids at home. And you have to have had more discipline in being better at this than I have, simply because, you know, what you're doing is amazing and you're getting it done every day. So I think part of this is, we have to admit we're all in different places and creating different environments to be kind to yourself, but also know that there are people that have been doing this forever, and you, it's time for you to step up and lead in ways that you haven't had to do it before.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think, you know, it is kind of stressful to get into a new routine. And my family laughs all the time that I have an incredible ability to block out anything that's happening. If I'm focused on something, almost to the point that it's a little bit scary, because I can like not hear somebody crying for a second if I'm really trying to read something. So I have that, I perfected that gift almost to a fault. But for individuals that this is all really new and being at home is kind of distracting, because you see other things that you can be doing and want to be doing in your home, or, you know, your TV's on, you're just trying to figure out how to get into a good routine. The American Psychological Association does kind of talk a little bit about, and they have some recommendations about how to deal with stress at work. And I think they're really good things to do during this time, because for many of us, even though we don't feel stressed or wouldn't call what we're experiencing right now a high level of stress, there are underlying stressors just with the change of routine and change of environment that we may not be able to identify. So when we look at what their recommendations are, one of them is to really track your stressors. And Ron, you mentioned this, like keeping a journal and just kind of, you know, reminding yourself where you're at and the situation that you're in and how you're responding. You'll look back at that later and it will give you so much clarity about what were you really stressed about and what were some of the things that you did. And also just developing healthy responses. And that goes back to having those routines of when you feel stressed, what do you do? And we've had several podcasts on that. But if that's exercise for you, if that's reading, if that's taking a minute and doing yoga or deep breathing, you know, do those things and take good care of yourself. And then lastly, to really establish those boundaries. And that's something that as a lot of people are now beginning to learn how to work remotely and work from home, it's really easy to feel pressured 24/7 and to have a lot of distractions going on. So how can you set boundaries and be clear and communicate with those that you're now sharing space with? For me, I'm sharing space with my husband in a way that we haven't for a while. And so yesterday was a little clunky, like you're getting on our Peloton the time I normally want to get on the Peloton. And just, you know, we're in each other's space in a different way. So establishing those boundaries for yourself and communicating them to those around you so that you can start to get into a good flow. But expect it's going to take a little while. I mean, change does not happen overnight and you don't find the perfect routine the first time you try. So give yourself a little bit of grace and be willing to make some tweaks along the way.
Yeah, I think you're dead on. And you know, this journaling idea, and I know for a lot of people that seems goofy, and a lot of people start and they don't make it. But even if you just call it your appreciations, I'll be honest, you know, yesterday was our first full day of our first of this 2 weeks that were closed. It's probably going to run into longer, but I'll be honest, it was one of the really cool days of my career. My whole career, I've kind of had this dream that, you know, I have one child, that someday we would work together and that, you know, someday she'd want to be part of our business. And I worked in the office yesterday because I needed a bunch of files that were there to bring home. And so she worked in our office yesterday and I spent the day across the office. For you, Carla, you'll know she was at Paige's desk because Paige is one of her friends from school and she felt comfortable being at Paige's desk. And it was like a really cool day to look up, even in the crisis, even in the unknown, even in this dysfunction, to know that there are good things happening and we are growing as people. And in this void is where we, if we're kind to ourselves, is where we can hear the voice of greatness, where we can hear the, once the noise is eliminated of the world, if we'll allow our own greatness to speak to us, it'll be there. And so take some time and be kind. Be kind to, because in your case, you know, Carl's used to having the house to himself, or not to himself, but with the girls during the day. You've invaded his space, but you're like, hey, I got work to do. I have meetings. I have things that have got to take place. But in the end, we're all going to be okay. And, but just be kind. Don't let the anxiety of what we can't control take us away from the grace of what we can control. And Ellen would say, just be kind to each other today.
Ron, I think that's the perfect way to end today's podcast, because I think kindness always prevails, and really allowing yourself, as you said, to hear and believe in your own greatness and to allow that to really speak to you during this time is such critical advice for leaders. So thank you for kind of dropping that nugget of wisdom for the listening audience. And I look forward to another lively and robust conversation with you on the Always Forward Leadership podcast in a few days.
All right. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.